Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Nun Beit, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Nun Aleph Amud Beit. Hanoder min hachalav is where we're up to. So, we're continuing on. However, even though we're continuing on, it's not quite the same as the other Mishnayos. Remember that up until this point, the whole perek has been dealing with how defined are the foods, the item that the person is being noted from. And in the cases that we've had until now, we had the hey hayidiyah. That hey hayidiyah, according to the Ran, was the main point. And it was the special thing that people commonly refer to. So when you say pickles, it's like in Lashon HaKadosh, it's the pickles, that's referring to pickles. If you're saying to anything pickled, then obviously that's different. So we went through each type of food. What would the mean in that type of food? But here, we're actually departing a little from that, because the hey hayidiyah doesn't change things for us. And here, even though you say ha-chalav, that is not the point. It's not that ha-chalav means only real milk, but not protein powder made out of whey, let's say, right? Now, this is a very common issue today in which people are happy to use whey protein, you know, and they'll drink that for their source of protein. And that takes the place of the milk. It's much richer in protein for them. So it's concentrated milk protein, essentially. So is that considered to be usur? Now, you always had easy access to whey, obviously, because when you leave milk around to separate, so the whey separates from the milk solids, which is how you make cheese, butter. Anyway, so the question is the whey included? So the Tanakhama holds that if you're noted from chalav, then the kum, which is kum, means just something that sits there, and therefore we call whey kum. So the kum is mutter, because, I don't know, it isn't milk, we'll see. This, of course, opens up all kinds of different questions, right? Because, obviously, this is the first time that we're talking about where the thing itself has a derivative. And that's different than the cases that we were talking about before, where there's different forms of the thing. But over here, the whey started out as milk. So how exactly did that happen? What was it? Usser, and then it became mutter. So this leads to all kinds of other issues, right? I mean, what happens if something gets mixed? Well, we talked about chilufeyem and giduleyem. We never talked about the thing itself, which is now present, but it's present in a different form, or it's present as a tam in something else. So these are the questions that now suddenly come to the fore in our perek. And because of this, remarkably, probably the most famous Ran in all of Shas, in all of the Purushim of the Ran, is this daf, where he goes through a brilliant analysis of the issues of Dover Sheyeshul Matirin, and of Min B'mino and Min B'she'eno Mino in such a classic way that he was really a groundbreaking thinker in terms of taking a modern approach to an analysis of the underlying issues in the sugya that the other Rishonim just took for granted. And he speaks out all of the different elements that are taken into consideration, which gives us a small daf today because the Ran took up all the page. But it also gives us an extra time to think about the Ran, right? Okay. So hopefully we'll be able to do that. Now, first, let's just take a look at the Pashtus. But you see right away, I mean, we open up this Mishnah, we understand that we're opening up a Pandora's box and that the question is going to now spread to all types of derivatives and the issue of bittul and so on. Okay. So according to the Tanakhama, remarkably, even though you started off with milk, you ossered milk on yourself, the whey is mutter. All right, so this gives the kosher protein companies, you know, many of them use whey, so this gives them a big leg up. I mean, there's so many people out there ossering milk on themselves nowadays that that if you don't have protein powder, it's a disaster. What would you do? Surely you wouldn't use soy, would you, or peas? Absolutely not. So, okay. Rabbi Yossi, however, answers the way as well. How about the other way as opposed to way? If how about the other way? How about if you answer the way, would you also be answering the milk? So if you answer the kum, then you mutter b'cholav. Now this sounds like everybody would be mutter to it, right? It's not so simple. But so far on our daf, it looks like this is something that even Rabbi Yossi would go for. What the difference is, isn't clear. Abba Sholomer, Hanoder min Hagvinas. And you might think that this also has a particular Hei Hayidia. There's a certain type of Gvina that people mean when they talk about the cheese. However, that's not true. You would be usher on any kind of cheese, whether it was Maluach or whether it was Tafel. How about Hanoder min Habasar? Now, I mean, we know that Gavi moved all the way to the Galil because the Tzvat cheese has much less salt, and therefore it's worth a little trip up there to that little dairy right at the top of the mountain. But the mice of the Mishnah Paskin is not like Gavi, and that the Gvina is Aser. Any type of Gvina is Aser. And as you know, many of those Tzvat-looking cheese, like Bulgarian cheese, no way, Jose. Those are very salty. So you'd be also on everything. Hanoder min habasar. Now, what about the meat? Now, you've got all kinds of issues over there, but it has nothing to do with the meat. The question is, now this really brings the issue of derivatives up, and that is, how about the gravy? How about the sauce? What would be included in the meat? Now, I mean, that you would think that, I mean, drippings from the meat. There's a difference between rotav and kippah. Rotav is drippings. So drippings do not include any actual pieces of meat. However, you will notice that at the bottom of your pot, anytime that you're cooking meat, you also get a thick kind of soul food, which includes actual pieces, tiny pieces, but they're not just drippings. They're not liquid. So it includes a lot of solid parts of the meat. That's called kippah. And that is always called of dak shabbos, little tiny falling pieces of meat that go to the bottom. So the Tanakhama holds that the rotav and the kippah are both mutter, even though the meat was usher. Whoa, that's amazing. But Reb Yehuda says, no, it's usher. And as a matter of fact, you're talking about the rotav and the kippah, which comes directly from the meat. I can tell you an amazing psak that Rabbi Tarfon gave me, and we had some eggs that were cooked in the cholin, and the meat was usher on me, and he wouldn't let me eat the eggs because it had the taste of the meat. Now, for heaven's sakes, the taste of the meat is usher, you're telling me, but the gravy isn't usher, and that's outrageous. It doesn't make any sense at all. Obviously, the dripping is the meat. I mean, so how do you get that? Now, you see how this relates back to the whey and the actual milk solids. I mean, how do you get the whey out of the milk if it isn't milk? So if the milk is usher, how is the whey not usher? The same thing would be true over here. If the meat is usher, how is the gravy not usher? I don't understand this psak. Rulo, let me just see that inside. Osir aleinu Rabbi Tarfon, even the beitzim shenitbashlu imo. So all they had was the taste. Koshik and the gravy, which is the actual thing. Amrulo, indeed. But you're getting confused about the case. It's true that Rabbi Tarfon would have asked that. Obviously, if he asks the beitzim, he asks the gravy. Kenadavar. But circumstances are different. Imatai. When did Rabbi Tarfon said that? So, when an object becomes the object of the neder, that is called, Gavi, right, please, Chaticha de Isura. Chaticha de Isura, and they might as well write the whole point, because this comes up very often in Shas. Shavye anavshe Chaticha de Isura. This man has, through the neder, made this thing essentially a piece of Isser, as if the Torah had Asered it. And we find the same terminology used when somebody says, let's say somebody says, she says, this guy married me. So she can't Asr anybody else, but she can certainly Asr herself on relations with anyone else because Shavya Nafsha Chatichat Isra. She has turned herself into a married woman as far as she's concerned. So that's the equivalent of a neder. You're claiming that this is the reality. Once it's a chatichat isura, you have to look at it the way you would look at a piece of non-kosher meat. Obviously, if a piece of non-kosher meat falls into your cholent and there's eggs in the cholent, everything is going to be usher, that's for sure. Rabbi Tarfon's psak is very clear, but that's not the case. Here you didn't turn this piece of meat into isur. What you said is that meat is usher on me. Now, that's not saying that any particular piece of meat is a chatichat isura. What it means is that you do not want the hana of eating meat. Do you have the hana of eating meat from the taste of meat in something? No. I mean, meat, you know, we've already talked before about eating the porridge with your fingers, and that's what makes it taste good. Halachas kama v'kama, biting into a juicy steak is certainly different from the experience of drinking a cup of steak drippings. You got to be pretty bad shape if that's all you can do for a steak, right? So that was not your intention. So you So if you started off with a particular chatichat isura, it's no different than any other chatichat isura. And that's when Rabbi Tarfon said to you, you can't eat the meat, the egg. So ematai bizman shiomar basar ze alai, because the principle is if a particular thing is usher to you as a neder, and then that thing gets mixed up with something else. So then, well, of course, so if there is still the taste of that thing, well, that's how we define, that's the whole sugya of tam keiker, and do we usher that? Is it the uraisa? Is it the rabbonim? But it's no different than anything else. It's like a piece of trefa meat. Hanoder min hayayin mutar betavshil sheyesh bo tam yayin. So if somebody would say, this wine, or somebody would say, wine, we have the same difference. Here's an example of what Rabbi Tarfon would have told you. A person says, wine is usher to me. What that means is that he does not want the hano of drinking wine. Now, certainly that doesn't mean that if somebody put wine in the cholent and it gives it that slight taste that wine adds to a cholent, I would recommend doing this, but you could try this at home. But it certainly is not quite the same as drinking wine, you would agree. But how about if you say, this wine is usher? So then it's clear, if this wine is usher, you're going to deal with it the way you would deal with any other isher that falls into your cholent. It's very clear. So if you say, konim yayin ze, now, this is bad. Konim yayin ze shani to'im. Uh-oh. Now you just threw in a whole other issue here. Oh, heck. Up until now, we were talking about drinking wine, and we thought that it's all very straightforward. The difference is whether you usher the particular item or whether you're ushering a class of items, right? Thank you. Why did you have to mess it up by throwing in these words, shani to'im? Doesn't that make a big difference if you say wine is usher or you say tasting wine is usher? But for God's sake, if I put the taste of wine in the cholent, so maybe that's the reason it's usher in the cholent. And that would be the reason that the egg is usher, not because it becomes a chatichat isura. Well, what a mess up. So by throwing in those extra words, you've now confused us totally, which is wonderful, of course, because that's what Mishnayos are meant to do. So, okay, so now you've introduced another issue. So now we have to think about, would either of those issues be the same? In other words, you could say yayin shani to'im, or you could say yayin zeh, and they would accomplish the same idea. Because if the neder is from the taste of wine, so that's the equivalent of wine asering with its taste, right? Would it necessarily be the same? Because if it's the taste, I mean, would you say it would be the taste of wine in, let's say, something that is the same taste. So say some wine falls into your grape juice. What would that be? I understand if the wine is a chefetz of Yisura, then if it falls into grape juice, maybe that would be min b'mina. According to Reb Yehuda, min b'mino would never be batel, right? But if the point is the taste, well, maybe I don't really taste it if I can't taste the difference between the grape juice and the wine. Now, this leads to a lot of the issues that the Ran is going to bring up, but first, we need to finish the sugya. Okay, so we have a pretty straightforward opening here into a whole new world of derivatives. Now, of course, when I say that, Akiva gets a whole different feeling about this, and he starts talking, thinking about derivatives, and he's going to have a whole discussion of what derivatives did to the market and so on. No, Akiva, we're talking about the other derivatives, ha derivatives. Now, ha derivatives are different than derivatives bialma, obviously. Fine. Okay, so let us continue now that we have the Mishnah. Let's take a look at what the Gemara has to say. So, it seems to be that Rabbi Yossi, who assers the way, he holds that that's just a type of derivative of the chalav. Ask the Gemara, but that's unbelievable, because take a look at the next Mishnah, in which we have a complete stira in Rabbi Yossi, if that's the case, because it says there, mina adashim, so that somebody assers lentils on himself. So the Tanakhama says, well, I mean, if you're usher in lentils, of course you're going to be usher ba'ashishim. Now, what are ashishim? Ashishim are regular lentils. They're just lentils that are prepared sweetly. So what they are is basically honey-fried lentils. Sounds good? It sounds about as good as barbecued herring. But okay, but people go for... I'm sure in Barnea's neighborhood, he's had honey-fried label. There we go. I told you. He's had honey-fried lentils. Many. Delicious. Unbelievable. He's also had the barbecued herring. He didn't like the barbecued herring. Okay. But I think we used to get around with our president.
Yes.
About the barbecued
herring. We did. But lentils have become, in all the restaurants, this may not have lentils. It's become a big thing.
Oh, to those happy people who go to restaurants. I remember there used to be such things. Places where all slobs would sit down together and watch everybody slob out, those kind of things. I remember that. Whew, glad we're past that. Okay, so anyway, these honey-fried lentils. So, unbelievably, Rabbi Yossi is matir. I mean, this is absolutely crazy. Honey-fried lentils are lentils. That's all there is to it. A lentil is a lentil is a lentil, you would think. And yet, honey-flavored lentils are basically not lentils, according to Rabbi Yossi. So, I mean, I don't understand. If you're telling me that the way that you prepare it is a different thing and it wasn't meant to be included because people don't call it adashim anymore, they've given it a new name and it's now ashishim, so kol shekein, I mean, if it was milk, and now it isn't the same as the milk, now it's protein powder, so I don't get it. That is usher, and this is mutter? Says the Gemara, yes, I'll explain, it's not even a problem. The question is a local usage question. They're not even arguing. It's not just a real machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi. The truth is markiatrei. This is another example of local usages, in which the local usage will define the interrelationship between the object of the neder and derivatives. Because the point is that in the Rabbanan and the Tanakhama, there were completely different words for whey and for milk, just like in English. So they would call milk, milk, and they would call whey, whey. So chalba is chalba, kuma is kuma, and there is no way that the two would get confused. However, in Rabbi Yossi's area, they would call milk, milk, but they would call kuma milk protein. Oh, uh-oh. So if you call it milk protein, now you're in trouble. because that means that you're relating the item to its parent, so to speak. So it would be a form of milk. Now it's milk protein. Therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, if you hold that the milk is usher, so then the milk protein would also be usher. And all we're talking about is not, I mean, you thought this was like this big, major question about what the situation is of derivatives, and now we're looking, no, it simply has to do with the language. It's just a question of usage. Fine? How about the other way around? So, as the Ron points out, the other way around, we're going to say later on, if you ask, it sounded in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi agreed about the other way around. But if you would answer the way that the milk would certainly be kosher, right? But later on, we're going to see that's not the case. In which case, we're going to have to say, like the Ron says, once we're able to freely interrelate milk protein with milk, so then if you answered milk protein, it would answer the milk also because of the confusing issue. In other words, the two are interchangeable, therefore. So Rabbi Yossi would take it even that far. Okay, let's take a look at a price. Anodim in achalav, mutar bekum. Somebody who's nodim in akum is mutar bechalav. Min achalav is mutar begvina. So even though that's made from milk, not a problem. And if you're nodim in agvina, why should that answer the milk that it came from? Min harotav, mutar bekipa. So let's say you are going to answer the drippings. Rotav is specifically the drippings without the actual content of meat product in it. So then he would be mutter bekipa. Surprisingly, because I mean, you would think kipa would be rotav plus, right? No, it's a different kind of food. So those things that gather at the bottom of the pot, those are, I wish I knew the name for it in English. I know that the blacks are very big on using that as a kind of soul food with a lot of different things. Does anybody know what the name of the deposit at the bottom of the pot of that very, very thick kind of gravy that's mixed with all kinds of small pieces of spices and meat, and it's a semi-solid. It's nothing like just plain gravy. Does anyone know a name for that in English? For the concept of kippah?
Would it be chitlins?
Oh, maybe. Could you look that up? Is that, that's the black food, right? Or the Louisiana food?
Yeah.
Could you look it up, please, on the internet while we continue? Just it would be nice to, if you can have it, so post it for us.
No, that's the intestines.
Oh, that's the intestines?
Yeah, that's the kishka. Yeah, I was looking that up. Hmm.
Okay, but I also have a memory that somehow that relates to Louisiana, this thing. So there might be one of those interesting foods there that does have a name for it. If you can find it, it'd be great. Okay, now, how about if you ask the kippah, you're certainly mutter in the rotav alone. But, now here's the idea. If you say baser ze'alai, then like we said, even the baser that falls into the cholent would now become a chaticha d'isura, and it would be yoser. And therefore, omar baser ze'alai, asur bo, uberotvo, ubekipo. Somebody is noder min hayayin. Well, he's allowed to eat cholent that has wine in it. Mutar betavshur sheyesh bo tam yayin. But suppose he says, here we go again. Yayin zeh she'ani to'em or she'eini to'em. Now he's confusing us by utilizing two words that both seem to have the same implications, but for completely different reasons. One is because yayin zeh is shavi chaticha d'isura. And one is because she'ani to'em means that I'm answering the taste and not only the actual heftza of the meat. And we don't know which one is the primary problem over here. But, okay, we're still going to be able to get to that with additional proofs that come from the continued sugya. And we're ready now for Sir Richard.
I found a word called fond, F-O-N-D. The sticky stuff, brown sticky stuff left at the bottom of the pot is called fond, F-O-N-D.
F-U-N-D or O?
F-O-N.
Oh, interesting. Fun.
As in fondue. Fondue to you.
I don't know. I never heard about that word. Okay, interesting. Maybe Dr. Barry, who is Baruch Hashem, has rejoined us. Maybe he knows the word for that sticky brown deposit at the bottom of pots when you've been cooking meat that includes actual tiny pieces of meat together with flavoring pieces and so on. Any idea? That's a very good point, Baruch Avram. Where is he? My goodness, a sugya, the whole sugya is about Doc Doc, and he doesn't show up. I think Ari should call and point this out. Okay, anybody who can come up with it? Huh?
In this case?
No, that leaves Richie to do whatever he wants. Doc Doc is gone. Go ahead.
Rabbi, I posted what Alon came up with, the definition of fond. It's in the chat. Mm-hmm. YouTube, they put in this mistake. It's from last night, but the text is fond.
Okay, good. We'll look at that. Thank you. Thank you, all of those who are doing this very important research for us. You found it, all right. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, fondly.
Okay. Rabbi, I'd also point out that the Israeli M&Ms are called Adashim.
So according to Rabbi Yossi, Ba'atri, the high. That's cute. Go for it. So someone osers himself on grapes. Now, this seems to be the ultimate. He osers himself on grapes. He's allowed to drink wine. If he osers himself on olives, so then he's allowed to have oil. But if he says these grapes or these olives, oh, no, it does it again. I need to aim. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. So then, asur behem ubiyotse mehem. All right. So now we're talking about the derivatives are asur, but we don't know why. Is it either of those statements? Is it both of those statements together? Very confusing. Okay. So what does that mean? Boy, Rami Bar Chama, I want to know. How do I read this? Which is the important issue? Is the word Elu, is that the crucial point, or is she'anito aim the crucial point? Because, I mean, either of them ought to be enough, no? I mean, I would think they point in the same direction. But for very different reasons. So we assume that one of these is enough to answer. Again, for very different reasons. Isakadaita. Now, I don't understand. What exactly is Rami Bar Chama asking? I mean, if Elu is enough, then why did the Tana mess up the whole point by throwing in Shanitoim? And if Shanitoim is enough, obviously we could ask the same question, right? As the Ron points out. We're just taking the first thing, and now we're gonna try to understand. So, I mean, isn't it obvious that it's not enough? No, not necessarily, says the Gemara. And again, this would be in either direction. Because what the Mishnah could be saying is that even though the guy said, Sheini To'im, do not think that just because he talked about tasting it, he means to say that even the taste of it is usur. If you said it, then you could talk about the taste of it. But if you didn't say it, meaning there was no elu, it's not going to help you to talk about the taste. Taste of what? So, therefore, the Mishnah is saying that even though you said any to'im, if he said, quote, elu, unquote, so then mitzah, but if not, not. And then we'd go through the same discussion, obviously, in the opposite direction. Well, if anito'im is the point, why did you mention elu? And again, we'd have to say the same thing. Omar Rava, look, you can see very clearly the point in an upcoming Mishnah. Konim peiro ta'elu alai, or konam hein lafi. So now we have a different derivatives. There's other derivatives. The other derivatives would be, how about if you plant them? That's a derivative. What grows? How about if you bartered them? So now the thing that you got from them, we're used to this issue from a Masechet Shviyos, right? If you flip them, by exchanging what we had, even if you exchange the meat for the fish and so on and so forth. The last thing is the derivative that contains the Isser of Shemitah. So the question over here is, what would be the din of the Chilufei Hem or of the Gidulei Hem? So the Mishnah says that you would be Usser in Chilufei Hem ube Gidulei Hem. Now, why didn't you mention the other derivative, the most obvious derivative, namely the Yotzei Mehem? How come you didn't mention the Yotzei Mehem? If you're coming to give me a list of the things that are Usser, so shouldn't you have said Usser b'gidulehem, b'chilufehem, u'b'chol ha'yotzei mehem? But you don't. There must be a good reason for that. So that would mean that even though you said elu, konim peres elu, the halacha is that the yotzei is still mutter, which would mean that if you didn't use the word to'im, then just telling me that it's these is not going to be enough. You do, in fact, have to stipulate that it's shani to'im. Wow. No, of course not. What's the matter with you? I mean, if you're answering derivatives that where the thing itself is not even there, it's nothing but an exchange for its value. If you tell me that's us, you honestly believe that the thing itself would be mutter because you've changed the way that it looks now, what you got out of it? That's crazy. I mean, the obvious way to understand the Mishnah is that it would have been exactly the same in the din of Yotzei Mehem. But, I mean, this is a much bigger chiddush. The Tana wants to tell us the ultimate derivative. I'm going to tell you, even if the thing is no longer present in any form, and it's just an outgrowth of its value. So, who had in that filo be yotzimim usher? But the Tana wanted to talk about a tremendous chiddush that chilufehem where it has no connection whatsoever to the object. It didn't grow from the object, didn't come from the object. So, what the real chiddush over here is that even the mention of gidulehem is there in order to tell me that the chilufehem is the equivalent of gidulehem, as we pointed out before, and even that is included, because that's a much bigger reason that we would have here to tell me a chiddush. It's clear that if something comes from something else, that it would be usser. If it's usser, even if it doesn't appear in its actual form and just its value, so that chiddush is what it is that the Tana wanted to teach us. Okay, that makes sense. All right. Let's look at the rest of the Mishnah and see if it still makes sense. Toshma. So that Mishnah continues. She'ani ochel v'she'ani or eni. Remember, we had this whole discussion before. Is there a difference between eni or she'ani? Or are there just different ways of saying the same letter? But whatever we end up believing according to the different Rishonim. So she'ani ochel, she'ani to'im. Mutar bechilufehem ubegidulehem. Now, how about if you say that I'm answering this thing specifically in terms of my actually tasting it or in terms of my actually eating it? So it says over there, you would be allowed to eat anything that you exchanged it for. Because you specified the thing itself. I mean, the thing itself was meat, you know, and this sure as heck tastes like fish. Well, because it was exchanged for fish. All right, so then you did not serve fish. You only answered meat. So then you would be mutter b'chilufeyem u'b'gidulayem. Now, wait a minute. What about the yotzei mehem? Because what would be the din in that case of the rotav, let's say, right? So now you're saying, now that you've said, well, the biggest chiddush is that even chilufeyem are usher, right? So then that means if you're telling me chilufehem is mutter, that's the least chiddush. And you're not telling me in that case that the yotzei mehem is mutter. Oh, God. Are you guys picking up the sound of that insane leaf blower? No, okay. So if it doesn't bother you, that's okay. That's the usage of these very focused mics. You know, the other ones, when you walk down the street wearing those headphones and you... If a car drives by, it sounds to the listener that you're in the middle of a tornado. Anyway, so this is good.
It's very appropriate because you're supposed to listen to the noise of the time. It felt from like a leaf that falls on the
This thing blows all the leaves away. Oh, okay, so in this case, the Mishnah would also have to teach you the biggest Kiddush. What's the biggest Kiddush? The biggest Kiddush would be that even the Yotzei Mehem, where the thing is present, the drippings, that even that would be mutter, but it doesn't say that now, does it? It says the lesser Kiddush. It says the Chilufehem is mutter. Oh, so apparently the Yotzei Mehem is usher. So you see that the moment that you say the word She'eni To'im, you are usher even in the Yotzei Mehem. Well, that proves that the crucial point is To'im, not Elul. Well, not necessarily. Because remember, this is all one Mishnah. So if the Chiddush in the Mishnah demands that in the Reisha we focus on Giduleihem and Chilufeihem and not mention the Yotzei Mehem, so then the Chiddush in the Seifa, even though you're right, it would have been a bigger Chiddush to introduce a new term, which is a Yotzei Mehem, we stick to the same terminology. So we're talking about Chilufeihem and Giduleihem. In this case, it would be Aser b'chilufeihem and Giduleihem, but that doesn't mean that he won't be Aser in the Yotzei Mehem. Okay, so I did a lo nasi b'reisha Yotzei Mehem. Since we didn't talk about Yotzei Mehem in the Reisha, then we're not going to bring in a new issue now. And lo nasi b'nami b'seifa Yotzei Mehem. So we don't have a raya yet as to whether any to'im or zeh is the crucial issue. Toshma. Rav Yehuda. Let's take a look at our mission. Okay, Rav Yehuda, the mission we started with. Rav Yehuda said that Rabbi Tarfon told me that the eggs in my cholent were aser. Because I had asered meat. So, ma'isev aser Rabbi Tarfon alai beitzim shenit bashluim imo. And the Chachom imo argan Rabbi Yehuda said, well, absolutely, we'd agree to that too. But what's the context? Hey, Matai, when did he give that psak? Bizman shamar bas. Bizman shamar baser ze alai. Didn't say anything over there, sheini to'im, did it? It just said baser ze alai. So you see that what's the crucial issue? Baser ze. And they even talk it out. They explain the logic in it. Shehanoder min hadavar v'nitarev ba'acher v'yesh bo b'nosein tam harei ze aser. And he doesn't even mention the idea of the taste. So for sure, if you said elu, then shavya nafshechatecha de yisura is enough to aser any of the derivatives. That's for sure. Says Gemara, yes. That is for sure. And the truth is, that was not Rami Bar Choma's question. Everybody understands that was the main point. And be'elu lo kami boilan. Of course, Rami Bar Choma wasn't asking whether there's a concept of shavya nafshechatecha de yisura which would make everything else aser. That was a given. Our only question that Rami Bar Choma was raising is whether She'eni To'im itself, would that be sufficient to aser its taste when I never said it? What is it? So it was a class, then was I asering the taste? That's the question. So She'eni To'im, that's what I want to know. Is that enough on its own? Davka or lo davka? So we weren't saying where you said either Elu or Shani Tohim, or were we saying one or the other would have the same result for different reasons? That's the question. Okay, so I can bring a right to that question too from a different mission we had before. We talked about Dag Dagim, not to be confused with Dak Dak. This is Dag Dagim. So now you're talking about the big fish and the little fish. So it's Aser Bahem Ben Gedolim, Ben Ktanim, Ben Chayim, Ben Mevushalim. And he said over there, She'eni To'im, didn't he? Now look, it says over here, he's allowed to eat Tari Trufa, and he's allowed to eat Seer. Okay? Now, I mean, if you're eating the fish Seer, I don't understand. So you're eating something that comes from fish. I mean, that's like the fond. So that's like the dak dak, the rotav and the kippah. So why, even though he didn't say zeh, he said she'eni to'im. Oh, so apparently she'eni to'im is sufficient only to Asr the thing itself. Because it says over here, you're still mutter in the tzir. So then just saying she'eni to'eim is not enough to Asr any derivative. That's what you see from here. Amar Rava, let me ask you something. Is there a difference between the thing that you asered when it was usher and then had a derivative, or whether there's a derivative of the thing and then you assert the thing? Do you think that might make a difference? So when it says you're allowed to eat the tzir, what happened over here? You made a netter at 8 o'clock in the morning, went to your makolet, and you find a jar of tzir. So the makolet owner says to you, you never ossered yourself in tzir, did you? You ossered yourself in fish. Yes, but tzir comes from fish. True, but it doesn't come from your fish that was osser. It's a new product now. So if I walk into my makolet, I pick a fish out of the fish tank, and this is the way you used to buy fish, and you still do in many places, right? So you say, okay, I want some tzir. You can't eat that tzir because you already said I won't taste this fish. Didn't say it, but he said, I won't taste fish. So, okay, so now if I squeeze that fish, it's included in the netter. But if it was a different product from before, can you prove to me that it would be included? No. Therefore, Tainas Rava, this is not really a proof at all, because we have no way of proving that it would even be considered to be an iser based on the anitoim. We have no way of understanding that that would be necessarily usher if it would have existed in the fish, or mutter even in the fish that you currently have ushered. All right. Fascinating. Now, what does the Ran have to offer us in this lovely sugya? I'm sure you guys would love to read through this Ran together, because the truth is his language is absolutely adorable. It really is. He's got these cute plays on words. Barnea would love it. But it might take us a little longer than the time that we have available to us. So,
maybe give us a rundown?
Not bad. It's really a particular type of genius, I have to say. It takes me so long to figure out what he's saying. Yes, okay, so a rundown on the run. So here we are. It's impossible to compete. Forget about it. So the Ran deals with some fascinating questions. Question number one is, Nidarim are by definition a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin, are they not? I mean, the whole point is you're supposed to be Matir Neder, because if you do the Neder, bad enough you made the Neder. If you're Mekayim the Neder, it's like you're already Makariv the carbon on your Bama. So that means that it is Omeid to become Heter. You have a Chiyuv to make it Heter. Normally, we say that a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin is never batal. And if it's never batal, so none of these questions make sense. What do you mean, Yesh Bo B'Nevi Sein Tam? Why Yesh Bo B'Nevi Sein Tam? It's not batal because you should go get a heter for the neder. And what people understand to be the normal is the lecture of the Gemara. Ad shato ochlo be'iser tochlenu be'heter. Why should you eat something which is usher, relying on its bittul, when you have the opportunity of eating it beheter? So how do you explain the fact that if ein bo b'no Saint Tom, that then it would be considered to be okay, as long as you don't taste it? Now, you notice that this might have something to do, as I mentioned earlier, is there a difference between the lashon of she'eni to'eim when it comes to the dinim of bittul versus the lashon of zeh? If both of them would work, then would they necessarily have the same impact? So here we get into this question. So a dover she'yesh lo matirin is never bittul. So the Ran wants to suggest that this is all very nice. It's true. But the only time that we say that, min b'mino afilo be'elef, we're talking about according to Rabbi Yehuda lo batil, and a dover sheyesh lo matirin, afilo be'elef lo batil, these are words that Gavi is writing down. So, that's dafka, taina is the Ran, if it's min bimino. But when we say over here in this Arif Ba'acher, which is the case, let's say, of an egg that got into the cholent, then the halacha would be that even if it's a dover sheyesh lo matirin, it would be a function of nesinas tam. And if you don't taste it at all, then we wouldn't say, well, if you're eating it be iser, why not eat it be heter? I'm not eating it. Because if there is no nesinas tam at all, and it's undetectable, so what are you telling me? I'm eating it. I'm not eating it. If you're talking about min b'minai, so then the question is, what exactly are you saying you're not eating it? You don't taste it? Of course you taste it. The whole thing tastes exactly like the piece of meat that you answered, right? So you are tasting it. Well, but that's not it. I mean, that's the other pieces of meat that are mutter. No, because if the two things taste exactly the same, there's no way that you could say it's completely bottle. It's not in there. Why is it not in there? On the contrary, the thing that tastes like it is not making it go away. It's strengthening it. It's even more there than it would have been otherwise. Like this, I might not have detected the taste of this meat, but now it's part of the overall taste of meat that I'm eating. So therefore, there's a major difference in terms of a davar sheyesh lo matirin, even in this case. Because of that, he actually brings a raya from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi asks the question of whether Nedarmer considered to be a davar sheyesh lo matirin or not. And the Yerushalmi comes out that it is a davar sheyesh lo matirin. And it asks on itself from this Mishnah, the Lashon being im yesh bo benotein tam asur, answers the Yerushalmi, tipater, explain this resolution of this, b'min b'sheino mino. And therefore, since in that case, I'm not eating anything because it's gone, so what's the difference of whether it's yesh lo matirin or not? Beferish, says the Ran, like me. Okay, now, the problem is, and here's where things get fascinating, and the Ran comes up with some of his most beautiful chidushim in this sugya. So he says, but if I'm right, this leads to a problem of a famous riff that everybody asks this problem about. Because he paskins in a case of taruvas, which is a famous case from Gidhan Nasha, which I just wrote to you, the few of you who bothered reading what we were talking about with Abdullah and taruvas, you bum. So the case over there, of course, in Gidhan Nasha, which is coming up about Abdullah, taruvas, Hanukkah, you wouldn't even care. So anyway, but so, so they ask on the riff, who paskins over there about a case where you cook bread and you put it in one oven. You were baking bread and at the same time you were sizzling some steaks in the same oven. So it says over there you cannot eat that bread with cheese dip, which is kutach. And even though we paskin that absorption through smell, so that means absorbing molecules that have now been volatile enough that they're in the air. Those molecular absorptions is lav miltehi. We paskin that that's not considered to be meaningful. But the reason that it says in Gidhan Nasha, this answer says the Rif, is because it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. It is? Yes. Can you eat the bread? Yeah, you can eat the bread with a steak. But you have to bedavka eat it with cheese? So don't eat it with cheese. Eat it with a steak, and then it will be mutter. So now the question is, therefore, since it is davar sheyesh lo matirin, afilu be'elef lo batel. That is what the Rif says. So then if that's the case, he seems to hold, I mean, bread and the steaks that were sizzling are not the same taste, are they? So it's min b'she'eino mino. So then according to what I just said, says the Ran, min b'she'eino mino, we don't apply the rule of davar sheyesh lo matirin, right? So why are you calling the bread a davar sheyesh lo matirin if the steak isn't there anyway? And therefore, we don't apply the din of davar yesh lo matirin in a case where its tam is bato min b'she'en omino. Clear? This is really worthwhile just getting the issues clear, because it's really, don't let the terminology confuse you, because it's such a fascinating sugya and it's so beautiful, the Ran's Chiddushim here. Again, is everything clear? The Ran explained that Nedarim are not considered to be a problem of a davar she'esh lo matirin, that it says over here, if there's no taste of the neder in the pot that it was cooked with in the case of Elu. And the question was, but isn't it davar she'esh lo matirin and therefore is never batal? And the solution was that that would only apply if it's still there. But a davar, which is min b'she'en omino, where you can see that I don't taste it. So if I don't taste it, it's not there. So what are you telling me? So don't eat it, because you might as well do it. But eat what? It's not there. That was the Chiddush of the Ran. The Rif nonetheless says that in the case of bread that was baked in an oven, in which you are cooking steak, don't eat the bread with cheese or cheese dip. Why? Because you could eat it with steak, and therefore it's a davar she'esh lo matirin. Or you could eat it with Barnea's coffee, which tastes like anything that you want it to taste. Very similar to the man in the Midbar. I'm assuming. Because every time I ask him what's in there, it doesn't matter if it's air, if it's boozed, if it's coffee, if it's cyanide, it's all the same. I'm supposed to drink it. So that's his question. Because if what we wrote, then there's something wrong. I mean, and you see, I was right. Because after all, it said it in the Yerushalmi, so I should be right. So now the question is, Taina's the run of how we understand the entire issue of min b'mino or min b'she'eno mino. So here's where he goes to town in a very fundamental way. It's very beautiful. So he says, look, the machlokas, the fundamental machlokas, is, as the Gemara says, that in Menachas, both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan are semech on the same pasuk. The pasuk says, we've spoke about this many times, v'lakach midam ha'par umidam ha'seir. Now everybody knows that the dam ha'par is massively more blood than a seir, right? You're going to mix these two damim on Yom HaKippurim, and you're going to be sprinkling... Ari! What's going on over here, man? You can't let them bother you in the middle of the daf. Jeez.
She must be a baby.
No, that's a dinosaur. You're completely wrong, Calvin. Okay. So, both of them, says the Gemara, are darshaning the fact that the Torah says that the Dama Par and the Dama Seir are both present when you sprinkle them on the Mizbeach Hazav. How is that? The Dama Seir should be completely bottled in the Dama Par. So what's the Torah saying? Now that's where we discuss the whole issue. So from there you learn, Rabbi Yehuda says, well, from there you learn, min b'mino lo bottel. So anything which is basically similar to the other thing, how can you say, isn't the issue of bittul that you have made it disappear, right? Because you've essentially put it into a position where I can't detect it. But that's ridiculous if it's the same thing. What do you mean you can't detect it? That's all you're detecting. You're detecting blood, 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 blood. You know, the fact that you can't distinguish one blood from the other, I mean, it's all the same blood as far as you're concerned. So how are you weakening the presence of the Sawyer's blood in the blood of the par? Not weakening it. So therefore, you see from there that there's a major difference between min b'mino and min b'she'eno mino. Not only are you not weakening it, you're strengthening it. Because no matter how much blood you add to it, you're just making it more bloody. So therefore, how would it be bato? That's the logic of Rabbi Yehuda. So by definition, if it's the same as the other thing, therefore, Tainas Rabbi Yehuda, any iser min b'mino is not bato. The Rabbanan, however, do not agree to that. Why? Because, and here's the Ran's Chiddush, there are two ways of looking at the issue of min b'mino or min b'she'eno mino. If you're looking at the physical presence of the issue, then Rabbi Yehuda is right. But if you're looking at the definition in terms of Iser V'Heter of the issue, then Rabbi Yehuda is wrong. Because the question isn't whether I am detecting blood. The question is whether I'm detecting the blood of Iser. And therefore, by definition, Iser and Heter is mean b'she'eino mino. The very fact that one is Usser and one is Mutter is itself a mean b'she'eino mino, because I'm forced to detect Iser and I can't detect the Iser because there's so much Heter. So who cares whether it's all blood? We're not interested whether it's all blood. We're interested in whether Iser is present. That's the shita of the Rabbanan who argue on Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, you cannot say, well, let's look at what they are. Let's not look at what their din is. No. In the dinim of Iser V'Heter, the primary consideration is Iser V'Heter, you see? And therefore, as long as they're different in Iser V'Heter, so then even min b'mino is bato. Why wouldn't it be? That's min b'she'eino mino. Oh, Calvin, I don't know what we're going to do with him. Okay, so then that would be a reason why every min b'mino is actually a min b'she'eino mino. Time is the Ron. Okay, now, let us take a look at the implications of that for a dover sheyesh lo matirin. So the reason the dama parzam b'vatel is dama soyer is because both of them are kosher for Zerika. They're both kosher, and therefore there's no Iser and Heter, and that's why they're not Mevatlim Ze'ezeh. Just like Rabbi Yehuda goes according to their physical structure, their Etzem is the way that he puts it, the Rabbanan go according to their Din structure, their Iser V'Heter structure. Therefore, everything is fine. Now, this would explain why, when we get to the case of Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin, then the Rabbanan say, now, wait a minute. In the normal case where Iser V'Heter are completely separated from one another, they are called Min B'She'eino Mino. But if something is going to be Mutter, then it's not totally different from the other thing that is Mutter. In which case, the Iser is not real 100% guaranteed Iser. It's Iser on its way to become Heter. But then it's Heter b'Heter. It's not Iser b'Heter. Then it's not Min b'She'eino Mino. Then it's Min b'Mino. Therefore, a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin is Min b'Mino. If it is Min b'Mino. But what do you do, says the Ron. It's so cute. What do you do when you cannot fully differentiate one mean from the other mean in terms of Iser V'Heter? Because now they're getting to look very similar. So let's say we have an Iser V'Heter camera, okay, in which you take a picture of the Iser, it shows up red, like those infrared cameras, right? And if you take a picture of Heter, it shows up blue, okay? So then I'm not going to get mixed up between red and blue. But how about if the Iser is easily heterable? Now our Iser V'Heter camera picks up the Iser as a close to blue other color. Oh, no, that's very difficult to differentiate. So what do you do then? Therefore, says the Ron, it's not that the Rabbanan disagree that a difference in type is certainly a consideration. They just think that it's much more important to talk about a difference in type in terms of Iser V'Heter. But they're agreed that where the Iser V'Heter distinction is looser and not easily detectable with our camera, that certainly there is an additional value to the differentiation of Be'etzem. This thing is one type of thing and this thing is another type of thing. Now that's different. Now in that case, they are willing to go along with Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore they say, that's what the Yerushalmi is saying, if it is a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin, and therefore it's not fully distinguishable between Iser V'Heter, can you distinguish it by additional distinctions such as its physical makeup? Yes. So then in that case, it's not going to be a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin problem, because it's still min b'sheino minu and is batal. And therefore, my definition is still going to leave it open for us to have a din in which min b'mino makes a big difference for gabi adover sheyesh lo matirin, and everyone agrees that it's defined by its taste, its looks, whatever, and not by its isra'at, right? Okay. So now, says the Ram, now let's move on and see what the implications of that would be in terms of what the Ram is saying. So what I'm saying is, therefore, that there is a difference. Normally, there's always two differences between Isser Veheter, is one class of differences, and between Etzem is another class of differences. And therefore, what the Rabbanan is saying is that, well, normally I will look to the class of differences that are the difference between Heter and Isser rather than the class of differences that are Bemino. And therefore, we argue on Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, whatever is currently different is considered to be a different thing. But now let's talk about the Ron's case. The Ron's case. Now, the Ron's case is different. In the case of the Ron, where we're talking about the bread that has the taste of steak in it. Now, we paskin that that taste is not considered to be a valid taste difference. And that in that case, Rechalav Milsehi, which nonetheless the Ron is claiming, is still going to create a problem of a Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin not being bought. And that doesn't make sense because, as we said, Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin does not apply in cases where I have first determined that I'm not eating it at all. Ah, but why? Why? I've explained. Why didn't I say the Ron? I've explained because our camera is not showing up the differences between Isser Veheter as clearly, and therefore I will not look at those differences of Isser Veheter without taking into consideration the difference in type. Is that true about the Ron's case? In the Ron's case, as opposed to the normal Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin, listen to how brilliant this is. I meant the Riff's case. In the Riff's case of the steak and the bread, it's not that what we have is a piece of Isser which has within it the potential of Heter and therefore shows up poorly on our camera. It's that what we have is something that is currently completely mutter if I eat it with steak, right? It's not that there's any kind of difficulty in ascertaining what it is. It is currently completely mutter, and I can simply go ahead and I can say that, look, I mean, in this case, it's something that I can actually eat at this point. And over there, why in the world should I say what I normally say? I say, well, you normally will look at only one of the two sets. You will look at whether the Isser Veheter is differentiating it, where in this case it's not well differentiated. So that's what we claimed, right? But over here, it's a completely different situation. It's not that we have a better type of distinction. That when it is that we're going to be machmer in the Dover Sheyesh Lo Matirin, we said that we're only machmer in it in Bemina, right? But we're not going to be machmer on a She'eno Mino. In the case of the pot with the tzli, we should not be machmer on it Bemino because it doesn't make any difference. Because one way or the other, I'm not being machmer because at this point you're saying, well, let's figure out a way in which we could differentiate. It's very well differentiated. It's currently differentiated by the fact that I can eat it. I can eat it with steak. So what do you want to do? You want to say, well, therefore, let's figure out a way in which it would be different. No, says the Riff. That's exactly the point. Since it is currently edible, completely beheter, in that case, that's what I'm relying on. And that in that case, we would still say that don't eat it, Be'isser, eat it Be'heter, right now, because I could certainly see those differences. So that would be the Ron's pshat in the riff, and he uses a couple of very cute Barnea-like play on words, but unfortunately we don't have the Ron that we're able to learn in front of us. It takes too much time, but I would suggest that you look through the Ron yourself, because it's so much fun, and once we've already got a general idea, it's pretty easy to read through, and because of that, I have no reason, what he says, the Tzli, I have no reason to be machmer on it, b'minay, because it would make no difference which direction I would take, and therefore, the riff is 100% correct in their logic.